The Old Testament reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses is speaking. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today's one of those funny days. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ, we normally say. And when we read from the gospel lessons, a lot of times there's a good, solid gospel message. one that we can hear and say, "Praise to you, O Christ," with excitement. But I said, today is one of those funny days. We just had a gospel reading filled with a bunch of law telling us that we're sinners all the way deep in our heart and we are constantly defiling ourselves. Praise to you, O Christ. Yeah. It doesn't have quite the same excitement when you've just been told that you are a sinner to your deep inner core. Your very heart is constantly defiling you because of the sin that lives in there. That is not something we normally would feel excited about saying. And yet, praise to you, O Christ, that we do have God's word. We do have his word for us, reminding us that even when we think we're doing everything just right, we're following all the right ceremonial cleaning laws, we showed up to church early, much less on time, we've done everything just right, and yet even then, the things that come out of our own hearts would defile us. We have God's word reminding us that no matter how hard we try, no matter how clean our teeth are, thank you, Vicar Nathan, for the reminder, we cannot clean our heart. We can't even see in our heart with x-rays how bad it is. It's not like cutting open a fruit and seeing that the core inside has gone rotten. We have sin in our heart that can't be seen except by God, who sees it and knows it and chooses to love us anyways. We have a God who knew how rotten each of us would be, how sinful our hearts would be, and yet he still sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that he would take on the full punishment of God's wrath and we would be left unscathed. That's why we can say, praise to you, O Christ, the one who knew how bad our hearts are and would be. He chose to die for you. He loves you so much that he knew, even after you've been told that, even after you've been baptized and called a child of God, even after you've received the gifts of his sacraments and you've woken up and prayed every day, he knew that you would still have that sinful heart. And he died on the cross because he loves you. Because in spite of your sinfulness, he still loves you. He loves me enough to have done that many times, to have reminded me many times that his death is for me. I imagine, as I get to know more of you more and have more conversations, I can hear all of the opportunities where you've seen God remind you that he loves you dearly and desperately. All of the great things he's done for us, even when we know we don't deserve it. I love all the care that is put into these worship services. I don't know if you know this, but if any of you have been stalking me on Facebook or anything over the last, few months, we've been doing the same for the church. We've been following online, listening to sermons, getting bulletins where we could. And I love all of the care that goes into the worship services we have here. Earlier, I had the opportunity to read for you from Isaiah 57, verse 15. Where it says, "I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit." Isaiah is saying, I am with all those who have a spirit that understands just how sinful we are, how we come to God in repentance, saying that we're sorry. We knew what was right, and we did what was wrong, because our own heart would not allow us to do what is right all the time. We are born into sin. We are told that repeatedly. Sometimes by the Bible, most often by our own actions and our own conscience. We are reminded that we are sinners, and we come to God with a contrite spirit, with a spirit that says, I am sorry, please forgive me. Now that reading continued, we come to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. We ask that God would revive our heart. It is dead inside of us without him. We ask that he would bring it back to life, that he would daily renew our hearts. In the gospel reading, which is a follow-up of last week's gospel reading, which wasn't preached on because some guy got in the way and the sermon ended up being about me instead. The gospel reading last week is the first half of this one, so I'm kind of thankful I get to use both of them. You see, the Pharisees had come down to see this Jesus character again. They're not happy with him. They keep coming to find ways or reasons that they can really stick it to him and get him off the public scene. And sure enough, they see him and his disciples having a meal. Now, maybe they didn't have dirty hands. They may have cleaned them in some fashion. But their hands were not ritually cleaned. They had not done the correct rituals to cleanse themselves before eating food. And the Pharisees are all angry about this. They come and they say, "Jesus, how come your disciples don't eat with clean hands?" Notice they didn't say that about Jesus. Remember, we're told that he follows the law quite well. He is God, after all. "Jesus, how come your disciples are eating with unclean hands?" And Jesus calls them hypocrites. He also quotes Isaiah, and he says, "You worship God with your lips, but not with your hearts." He saw through the Pharisees, and he saw that while they were indeed doing the right steps of following the law, in fact, not just God's law, but their own laws they've added to it, and they've been following them quite well. However, they were not following God in their hearts. They were leaning on their own good works. They were leaning on how well they could follow the law and cleanse themselves, not just their hands, before a meal. These Pharisees, these Christians sometimes, like to lean on their own good works, thinking, "Perhaps I can do something good and show God just how appreciative I am and just how much I follow him." And certainly we are called to do good works. The Bible reminds us God has put them there for us to do. He's prepared good works for you to do as his child who's already saved by Jesus Christ, as someone who does not have to do good works to get on his good side. We have a God who loves us even without those. We have a God who just wants us to come to him with a contrite spirit, one who wants to hear us say that we're sorry, knowing that as soon as we've said that, the answer is already, "You're forgiven." Today I had the opportunity to say that for the first time as a called and ordained servant of the word. "I forgive you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." That was great. Thank you for the amen. What's wonderful is we read in the catechism, it may have been a while for some, it's okay, that when we hear from the pastor that we are forgiven, it's as if Christ himself is there saying it, because the pastor stands in the place of Christ for you, reminding you that your sins are forgiven. So, for the last 38 years, when I heard it from others, it was as if Christ had said it to me. And today, when I said it, it's not by any power of my own. I still have the same dead heart that all of us do. I stood in the office of one who gets to proclaim what Jesus Christ has done. When he died on the cross, when he rose from the grave, he did it to give you his perfect life, his perfect heart. Though we are sinful to our very core, he is not. Though we deserve to die a horrible punishment for that sinfulness, he did instead. Though we deserve nothing but God's wrath and anger and punishment every day, much less when we die, Jesus took that on for us. He dealt with those calling him unclean or awful or even from the devil, as we heard a couple of weeks ago in our gospel reading. He took on scorn that he never should have. He took on a life he never should have, except for the fact that he loved us, where our heart would fail His heart perfectly cared for ours. Our trust is not in our own good works. Our trust is not in how ceremoniously clean we can be. It's only in Jesus Christ, in his work on the cross, in his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, where he says he's created a spot for you there. You have this promise until then. As a child of God, you're no longer born with just into that life of death and corruption that you had before. As a child of God, you've been born into life. You've been born into a family even more loving than some of the families I've already had a chance to meet. You've been born into a family of God where I can call you brother and sister, where I can say that to my own children, which seems kind of funny. And yet in Christ, we are all brothers and sisters. We're all one family with a Father who loves us dearly. With a Father who, as we see in God's Word, does not even just give us this great promise. He gives us something to take care of us each and every day. Where Jesus showed up both fully man and fully God, able to withstand all of the slings and arrows that Satan would throw at him, or Pharisees for that matter, he gives us what we read in Ephesians. He gives us the armor of God. And don't worry, I know we're on a schedule here. We have a brunch to get to. I won't do a whole sermon on the armor of God. That's a different sermon. But know that God in his word has given us great and wonderful tools to stand up against not earthly powers, but powers we can't even see. Just as we cannot see our own sinfulness that would pull us away from God, we can't see all those outside forces that would seek to do the same. Satan would be no happier than if he could take you away from your Heavenly Father, that he could make you think it'd be better to run away from God. We could not stand up to that on our own. Against God and our own hearts, against Satan and our own hearts, we would stand no chance. We need God and his word and his love for us. We need the ability to come to him in prayer, which it ends on with that whole armor of God. We need the ability to talk to our Heavenly Father, and we're so thankful that we are given that. Even with our sinful hearts, even with our sinful lives, our actions, our thoughts, our God tells us that he loves us, that he wants to talk to us. He doesn't send us away to our room. He says, come back to me. Turn to me. Talk to me. Hear my word, which we find in the Bible, and know that I love you, that you are my child, that I have revived your heart, that all those things that continue to flow out of you, all of the anger, the hatred, the envy, the malice, the desires of our heart, which we know are not God-pleasing, all of those things, even with them, God asks you to come to him, to talk to him, to know him the way he knows you. And so my prayer for myself and for all of us and for our church is that we would be a place where we could continually come to hear God's word, to hear and to know that he loves us, that Jesus paid for all of our sins, and that someday we will be fully revived, our hearts made fully clean. We will be bodily with our risen Savior in heaven, where we can see him face to face and have a conversation that doesn't start with, I'm sorry, but thank you, and I love you. Your God loves you. This is your promise in the name of Jesus. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.